yesterday by the weatherman, and the prophecy was that it would rain this morning, that it would clear out by 2, and by 4 o'clock there wouldn't be any clouds. He made it right, didn't he? He done well. So when I done that this morning, I wondered, well, I sure hope I hit that weather report. Didn't change the attendance much, but I sure am glad we got the weather right. Oh, well, we'll do what we can do and praise God for it. Amen. Amen. Well, praise his name. I just want you to continue to pray for us. I said this morning, but I haven't talked to my sister today, but continue to pray for my dad. I will be going back up there in the morning and for a day or so until Wednesday. Be back here by Wednesday at 5. That's my goal anyway. And they'll get it. I knew they'd get it. But anyway, I appreciate y'all and appreciate your prayers and praying for myself and my family during this time, my mom, and I appreciate it. Did want to mention Shelba this morning. She called and was having a very hard time getting up and getting around with her legs. She too had been in the nursing facility because of her shoulder surgery. I mean, she's at home now, but it's hard to get around after you've been facilitated for a while. So remember Shelba in our prayers. Sandra's sick, a lot of respiratory mess going on, and that's on our Facebook page. Maybe you got a prayer request. That's the ones I was thinking of. Anyone else? Dixie? Yes. God, to love you, to honor you, to praise you, and to thank you, Father God, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, God, that you've bestowed upon us. Father, we love you today. And Father, we know today that you're aware of the needs in this congregation. You're aware of every need around every heart, every life. And Father, today, God, as we come before you this evening, God, touch these needs. Touch these that are sick. Touch Kathy's daughter and her mother, God. I pray, Father God, for Sue's daughter. I pray, God, you touch her. Help her, God, her granddaughter, Father. I pray, God, for Jesse and CR. I pray for Grover. I pray, God, tonight that you just touch these needs around this congregation. Touch Daddy, God. Continue to give him and Mama peace during this time. And, Father, I just pray, God, for those that are at home and those that's trying to get better, God, for Sandra, for Shelba. I pray, God, that you just help us, God, to be found faithful as we endeavor to do your work and your will. Lord, I pray blessings upon this congregation. Help us, God, and give us an earnest desire to serve you and to honor you and to love you, Father. And God, we thank you, God, in advance for what you're doing and for what you're going to do, Lord. We give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Just remain standing as long as you can, and then Martha's going to lead us off in a few songs.
So wait. but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but
tonight, if not for the blood. Amen. Thank God.
There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of our God. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad.
And I will rejoice,
and be glad. And I will rejoice, and be glad.
Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water.
There is a fountain full of grace, and it flows from Emmanuel's veins. It came and it healed me, it came and it filled me, it came and it washed my sins away. And I will rejoice, and be I will rejoice. make glad the city of our God. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of our God. And I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad. There is a fountain full of grace, and it flows from Emmanuel's veins. It came and healed me, it came and filled me, it came and it washed my sins away. And I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad. I will rejoice, I will rejoice.
Amen. Give the Lord a praise in the house. Aren't you glad? He hath made me glad. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Even though we're small in number tonight and winter time's upon us and weather challenges us, I'm glad this evening that we've just come in this house to declare Jesus as Lord of our life. Amen. It don't mean that every day is going to be easy. It don't mean that life's not going to be without the problems that life has, but it just means that we have a made up mind and we're going to worship Him. Amen. Go ahead. I got to look at words. I'm already preaching the book of Kings. Y'all got to help me. Let's worship Him. Amen. Sing it to Jesus from your heart. Tell Him about it.
I've come to worship You. 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 I love to praise Your name.
Tell Him right now.
I love to praise Your name. I love to praise Your name. I love to praise Your name.
I don't know how many verses there
is. I love to worship You.
Yes, we do.
I love to worship You. I love to worship You. I love to worship.
Now just lift those hands and worship Him this evening. Father, we just come to worship You in this house. We come to glorify the name of Jesus Christ and to lift up His name. We come to magnify You who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think. You were there in the beginning, and God, You will be there in the end. You are the Alpha. You are the Omega. You are the Bread. You are the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And God, we come tonight to worship You and You alone. And Lord, You said in Your Word that You seek those that will worship You. And Father, we come to worship. We come to glorify You and honor You in this room, Jesus. Amen. Let's sing this again. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we have.
I love to worship you. 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 I love to sing your praise. Hallelujah. And I love to sing your praise. 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 I love to worship. Do verse 1 again. And I love to worship you. I love to worship you. I love to worship you. I love to worship you.
Now, if you do, give him a praise in the house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. There's no God like Jehovah. Amen. When I said that, when Jesus was there at the woman at the well, the Bible said, and God seeks those that will worship him. Amen. Amen. God is a spirit. Emily's going to come, and she's going to sing and worship in song. And then we're going to come back, and we're going to tear down some altars tonight. If you got any altars in your life, depends on what you're asking, right, preacher? Amen. Emily, thank you for coming and singing this evening. Amen. Woo, they'll get me right there in a minute. Thank you, Emily. Amen. The old devil tries to take us all down, but he's defeated. Amen. Well, guess where I'm turning to? We're going to go back to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. How many of you believe that everything you go through is for a purpose? As difficult as it is for me to say this, there have been things in my life, there's been things in your life that you have had to face and you truly did not know the full meaning of what you went through until you had already got through it to the other side. Now, I know tonight that none of us enjoys the valleys. I can't help but to think of Peg. I always think of Peg for some reason, because she said he's the God of the valley, just like he's the God of the mountain. I almost called Martha today and had her sing tonight through the fire, but I didn't. But I was thinking about that earlier, about how that God has brought all of us through things in our lives that when we got to the other side of it, we understood it more. There's a scripture that says that little is much when God is in it. It may not seem like a big deal right now, but yet if God's in it, he's going to show it to you later on. Before we read the book of part of the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, I read that this morning to you. We're going to go a little bit further into that tonight. But I believe it's in Romans chapter number 12. And I always remember this now because Dalma and I talked about it one time. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3, the latter part of that verse, it says that that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And somebody says, well, how much is the measure of faith? I don't know theologically how to answer that. But I answer it in the country boy lingo. However much faith it's needed at that time for you to believe God. I don't know how much that is. But it's enough faith for you to have at that moment to believe God. The story that we're getting ready to walk off into, and I hope that I can get through the latter part of this, in all reality, God was using this man, Elijah. He used him a lot. And again, I'm not going to talk about all the miracles of Elijah and everything that Elijah did here. I'd never get done with it. We're going to try to focus on two things this evening. One thing is when God took him from where he was at, took him there to Zarephath, told him to leave Zarephath and go on over, that there was a widow woman that was there that was going to sustain him there and go down to the river there, to this particular place, that she was going to sustain him. So when he got there, we can see that if we look at this in the scripture, he went to Cherith and God told him to go to Zarephath. I'll get it right in a minute. Verse number 8 says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee from Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And he said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal, in a barrel and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat of it and die. And Elijah said to her, this is very important. Let me back up before I get into that. And this is the only way I know how to say this. Before you can tell anybody else what God will or will not do, or what God has done or what God will do, I believe that, me personally, I believe that comes out of a heart of experience. Now, the reason I said that is simply this, is because God is the one that told Elijah to go there. And Elijah had to settle it in his own heart and settle it in his own mind that God was in control. Now, where I left off this morning was simply right here before I read the rest of that. I left off here because I thought to myself about not losing heart. The easiest time for you and I to lose our heart, come on now, is during the times of discouragement. And again, when you look at Joshua, and again, I'm not going to turn there, but if you go to Joshua chapter 1, verses 9, and different verses through there, in that scripture of Joshua 1, he tells Joshua, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. And he tells him that every place that thy foot is, wherever your foot will be, I've already given you the land. So the victory, when we think about the victory was already won. Jesus has already won our victory, and I'll get into that in a minute. But the thing that God told Joshua in Joshua 1 and 9, he tells him to be not discouraged and not to be dismayed. And he says this in paraphrase. He said, the God that has brought you this far is not going to leave you here, but I'm going to lead you all the way to the promised land. And you and I think about this evening as it pertains to you and I in this journey of faith that you and I are in, that God has brought us this far. And I just felt like I need to tell somebody that God will not leave you, and God will not forsake you, and God has not brought you and I this far to leave us now. We've just got to hold on to Him and know that He will lead us all the way. Now, I believe, now this is me, I believe as God was showing Elijah different things along the journey, whether it was a little bit of water, whether it was a raven bringing him some meat, whatever the case might be, he was showing Elijah these little things along the way that I am not going to leave you, I'm going to be with you all the way. Now, when we look at this, we think about the scripture that you and I are very familiar with in the New Testament. And I'm going to leave there for just a second and go there. I don't have a lot of scriptures, not jumping around a lot tonight. But in the scripture, we must understand, as it pertains to our heart, as it pertains to serving God, that obstacles will always be a part of the victory. Obstacles will always be. I mentioned this morning how that the enemy of our soul, the devil himself, as a roaring lion, he goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And sometimes you and I, we are in the struggle of life. But I just came by long enough this evening to tell you, we are more than conquerors. Paul says that in the book of Romans chapter number 8, we are more than conquerors. But yet 1 Corinthians 15 and 57 says this, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, the victory is already won. We are more than conquerors, and Jesus has already fought the battle for us. And the victory is already won. There again, Romans 8 and 31, if God be for us, then who can be against us? And I believe that God was showing His glory to Elijah, as well as this widow woman, to show him, to show them His goodness. You and I this evening, when we experience God and we experience Him. It is God allowing His love to be lavished upon you and I so that we can believe Him. Now we know that when Elijah was told this, he had to believe that God would supply his need. The Bible reminds you and I that my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How many of you know that heaven is not bankrupt tonight? Amen. That God said, I will supply all of your need. He said, if God be for us, then who can be against us? And then the Bible says that God has already fought and won the battle for us. Every promise of God is yes and amen. Again, to reiterate, God said He would supply our need. God knows what we need before we even ask Him. The Bible says that God even knows how many hairs are upon our heads this evening. But yet we look at this and we see that Elijah, as well as this woman, was put to a simple test of faith. Why? We got the Bible. We read this. Because God had to, again, teach Elijah, but He also had to teach this woman. Again, when you look in commentary, this woman was a widow woman, most likely, that was there of a prominent leader of Israel during that time. All that was left was her and her son. When we begin to look at what this widow woman had, evidently, when we look at it, we all can read this evening that she was pretty much broke. She was destitute, and she didn't have anything. But I just wanted to say this, a little faith is better than no faith at all. Faith as of a grain of mustard seed can say unto this mountain, be ye cast into the sea, and it'll be moved. Now we think about faith this evening of what happened. First of all, when Elijah told this widow woman to bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand and a little water in the vessel that I may drink. Now again, when I've been thinking through this week, a couple of things that's going on. First of all, I believe that Elijah had to believe in some way that she had the morsel of bread and that she had a little water to bring him. In some ways, I believe that he must have known that she was able to deliver what he was asking for. But yet in the same regard, I believe that he was walking and saying that by faith that she would be able to do what he requested. I know, and I don't have time to go there, but James says that you ask and you ask amiss. We've got to pray and we've got to ask according to God's will. We've got to be willing to obey God in the small things, the simple tasks. When we look at her this evening, it seemed to be a simple thing to Elijah, but it was her really given everything that she had. Again, when I think about you and I today, I think about people being faithful to God and people giving God their all and people giving God everything that's within them. I know for me, when I started in the church and Sherry and I started in the church, I used to hear the preacher say, you need to give your 100% to God because 99.5% won't do. I don't know if you've ever heard that or not, but they were trying to invoke us to give everything that we have to God. Give it all to Him. When I look at Elijah and when I look at this widow woman, it was Elijah telling this woman to give everything you've got to God. You see that in the text. We see here as we begin to look through this, again, she went, Elijah told her. They look back at each other and Elijah again tells this widow woman, bring me a little bit of bread and bring me some water. And then she looks back in verse number 12 as this conversation continues. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I don't have a cake. I have not a cake, but I have a handful of meal in a barrel. Somebody says that's all you need. That's all you need when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. She said, I have a little oil in my cruse. And then she says, I'm going to go gather these sticks. And then and I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. It was a decision in the next verse that God had to tell this lady. God had to tell this widow lady that God would sustain her and what faith it was in her life. What faith it was in her life at that time. What faith it was in Elijah's life. Elijah was a prophet. Elijah had to know that his words were true and his words must come to pass lest he be a false prophet. But he had faith in God. If this woman would just go and do what she was told or asked to do, that God would grant her what her needs would be. And when we look at this scripture here in this text, and it says that Elijah said to her, "Fear not, fear not, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said." My mind goes back to years ago. I was in Costa Rica on a mission trip, probably, 2007, 2008, along through there. I'll never remember that we were there and we were going from house to house and house to house. And we went into this little lady's house and she couldn't bend. She was just a little bitty short lady, just little bitty lady. And she and her Spanish lingo and we were getting interpreted as we were there. And we walked in the room and here she is about that tall and I'm about 6'1", and you know, and things like that. And she was looking up at me and she said these words to us. She said, "I was told of God that missionaries was coming. I was told of God that missionaries was coming. I was told of God that missionaries was coming." I don't know how God dealt with that lady. I have no idea. And we very fortunately was able to leave something with her and give her something. But every time I think about this lady, this little widow woman, I think about how that God has used people all throughout the ages to be able to supply the needs of others. Because God said in His Word that my God shall supply my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I don't know if anybody in this room is in a situation tonight that you don't know where the next meal's coming from. You don't know how it's going to work out. We've all been there from time to time, but as sure as my name is what it is, I know this for a fact, that every time I feel like my back's ever been against a wall, somehow, some way, God brings it through and God works it out, and I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Amen. God does this. He loves His people. And He's faithful to His people. But we have to be faithful to God. We have to be obedient to God. You can read that with the children of Israel over and over and over. He told them, "But you must be willing and you must be obedient to my word." God said, if you're not obedient, if you're not willing, then I cannot bless you. We tie the hand of God. God don't tie it. We tie it. But we can see here what happened in this story. Even though there was obstacles in front of them, Elijah already knew that God would supply his need. See, when Elijah was there at the brook Cherith, how that he drank water from the brook and how that the ravens would bring him food, it was by that lesson that Elijah knew, if I needed meat by the brook Cherith and I need meal from a widow woman, it's the same God that will meet my need now that met my need then. And see, that's the unique thing about God, because God says in His Word, "I am the Lord thy God and I change not." So Elijah knew that God would be faithful. When you look at this, the Bible says in verse 13 again, as Elijah told this lady, "Fear not, fear not." And he says, "Go and do." I love that. "Go and do as thou hast said, and make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me." And then it says, "And after make for me and for thee and for thy son." Again, when I read that, I think about how that the first fruits and how that God was telling this widow woman that if you'll feed the man of God and if you'll take care of the man of God, God will take care of you. Amen. And I didn't say that for my benefit. I said that because that's what happened in the Bible. Come on, somebody. You take care of God's things first and God will take care of you. Now, I'm gonna get on a little soap dish here for a minute. I guarantee you in 12 years, I've probably preached on tithes maybe three times or four maybe. I rarely ever mention that. Why? Because Thomasville Church of God has been very, very, very faithful through the years. All the records prove that. But maybe tonight you're teetering on whether or not you should tithe or whether you should give to God. I'll be honest with you. You can't outgive God. If you be faithful to God, I promise you that God will be faithful to you. Years ago, people was always saying, well, do you pay on your gross? Do you pay on your net? How do you actually go about paying tithes? I said, well, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling because God loves a cheerful giver. It's all His. It belongs to Him. But I do know there's a godly principle in the Word of God, and God says if you'll give to Him on the first fruits, that God would bless you and God will honor you. And I know what Malachi says. We've all read of that. But God said if you'll tithe and if you'll give, that God would open up the windows of heaven and God will pour you out a blessing that you'll have room not enough to receive it. And years ago, I was at Pepsi and that question was asked to me when I was a very, very young Christian. Do you pay on your net? Do you pay on your gross? Do you pay on this? Do you pay on that? Hey, just do the right thing. And I know with me, I started way back many years ago, years and years and years and 30 years ago, whatever it was, paying tithes and giving. I pay tithes too. That's Dr. Dean. Off the first. And I love it that way. Off the first. And because I believe even Brother Charles way, way, way back in the day, before everybody else got their part, I wanted to give to God. And you said, what if I don't have anything left? You'll have plenty left. God will take care of you. You'll get a surprise. You'll get a surprise in the mail. Come on, somebody. God will take care of you. So even way back in the day, and that was free. That wasn't in my notes nowhere. But way back in the day, I started paying on my gross, the first fruits of my increase. And you know what? God has honored that and God has blessed that. You say, do you have everything you want, preacher? I've got everything I need. Hello? Hello? All of us would like more. Come on, let's be honest. But God was able to prove to these guys here in this story that He was going to supply what was needed at this time. And He told her, you go make me a meal first. You go make me a cake first. And at the end of that, go make it for you and your son. And she walked in obedient and done what God told Elijah to tell her to do. And these next few verses is awesome because of what it says. And it says that she went and did. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days, the Bible says. And this, it says in 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which He spake by Elijah. And all the people of God says, praise God that God supplied all of her need. But yet you read this story and quickly there became another obstacle. Once again, Elijah was learning lessons and this lady was learning lessons. The next thing you see is where this son of this woman, the only son, the Bible said, ended up dying right there before her. The Bible says that, and again, I'm not going to take a whole lot of time there, but even in this, the Bible says that the woman of the son fell sick, and it says that his sickness was sore, and there was no breath left in him. Elijah, for a paraphrase, he went up, he laid him on his bed, he got over him, he done CPR. We think about that. And then the Bible says that the life came back into this man and he revived him, and Elijah brought him down, revived, if you will, in verse 23, and laid this son before this woman breathing. And then verse 24 says this, and the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy, excuse me, that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. So all of that, my friend, is to understand that even in obstacles today, that God will prove Himself faithful. Now, I want to get into the third part of this message. I told you it's a 3-hour message. So when you look from where we were at this morning and where we finished up just then, when you look at Elijah, again, where I opened this morning was that Baal worship was prominent in the land. And commentary actually said that Baal worship was so prominent in the land that the true worship of Jehovah was almost desolate at that time. That the whole land, because of this wicked king Ahab, again, now follow the storyline. Here God is building Elijah's faith. He come across this woman here at Zarephath. And then we see the next thing that happens is that God tells Elijah, all of that was good, Elijah. You've seen the miracles, Elijah. You've seen the boy come back to life. You've seen the food supply. You've seen the raven by the brook Cherith. But there's something else that you've got to do is you've got to go back and you've got to face Ahab again. See, that's why I said what I said earlier. Life has a way of teaching us. If God can do it one time, God can do it again. Now, I don't know where this fits theologically, but every episode of Elijah's life, it built him spiritually and it made him stronger in his walk with God. And if God can do these other miracles, God can take care of Ahab. So his biggest challenge is to reestablish true worship unto God. It's not that God supplied my need. It's not that God took care of me. It's not so much that God even kept me from the car wreck or God did this or God did that. What God is really after is God is after our worship. God seeks those that will worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the Bible reminds us of that, even in John chapter 4. But in this, we can see really quick of how that Elijah confronts Ahab. And then we jump really, really fast over in the middle of chapter number 18, verse 20. And it said that Ahab sent to the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. There was about 850, there was 450 prophets of Baal according to in verse number 19. And it said that when Elijah and Ahab got together and Jezebel, you know she was always there in the mix as well, that it was this Elijah that troubled Israel. And Ahab did not like what was going on. Jezebel, you can read it through there. Jezebel sent out a death warrant on Elijah's head. But yet prior to that, there was some events that took place in these next verses. And I want to say this before I move on. When you keep your heart, you don't lose your heart. When you got a true heart of worship, and you don't have a divided heart, and your heart's truly after God, you might as well expect spiritual warfare, because the devil's going to do everything he can to kill and to steal and to destroy. But you and I, we must remember the miracles that God has done to get us to where we're at. Elijah had to remember the things that God did with the woman, what God did with the son, what God did there at the brook Cherith, in order for him to be able to safely conquer Ahab and the prophets of Baal here in the next few verses of Scripture. That's why I said in the very beginning that everything that you and I do is layered, layer upon layer. And it builds our confidence and our trust in God. If God did it one time, God will do it again. If God was faithful when I was in my 30s, God will be faithful when I'm in my 40s. And if God is faithful to me in my 40s, God will be faithful to me in my 50s and my 60s and my 70s. And you can ask Brother Cain, and God's been faithful to him in his 90s. Come on, somebody, and say amen. So the biggest task of Elijah's life was fixing to happen. He had to face the king as a prophet. And as he began to face him, we can see this in verse number 20. And it says, "And Ahab sent to all the children of Israel and gathered prophets unto Mount Carmel." I love verse 21, because Elijah came unto all the people and said, as they were at the crossroads, and he said unto them, "How long are you halt between two opinions? How long are you serving Baal for a little bit and coming back and trying to serve God a little bit? How long are we, and I know I'm talking to the mature saints of God in this room tonight, and I don't suspect this of anybody in the room, but there are times that I've witnessed this in ministry. You see people come to church for a while, and they're faithful for a while, and they're engaged in a while, and before long they start staying out of church and waning away from church, and they lose their joy, they lose their heart, and before long the pews become empty, and before long they don't even darken the door. It's because they allowed the things of the world to steal their heart away. That's what happened here again when you think about this, because we look what Elijah did, and Elijah told them, how long are you halt between two opinions? In other words, make your mind up. Hey, I'm gonna step aside for a minute and say something. I'm glad that when I was 14, 15, 16 year old, that there were some grown men around my life that at that time were a whole lot smarter than me. And I'm really thankful that they spoke the truth in love to me and told me the truth. And I can call their names. My dad, I mean, he and I, we had our issues when I was younger and he was doing the things he was doing. But there's one thing I can tell you about him. He always led me in the right direction. And he always told me the truth. And I know another thing. He didn't miss words. He always told me, he said, son, just say what you mean and mean what you say. I said, okay. Let me tell you something funny. Really funny. Is it okay if I lighten it up for a minute and talk about something funny? To tell you, one of my dad's stories. He had an old car or something. He's going to sell it. And I think it's like $800. And I told him, I said, well, why don't you just mark it up to about $900 and then, you know, somebody come and then they, you know, talk you down a little bit and then you can get your $800 out of it. He said, son, if I wanted $900 out of it, I'd put $900 on it. Now, that might be an off figure. He said, I put $800 on it, and that's what I want out of it, and I ain't budging. I said, okay, Daddy. He said, just say what you mean and mean what you say. He said, you don't have to back up that way. And I think that's kind of about Elijah, you know. How long are you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. I know that y'all know this story. I know that you've read this over and over. Some of you might have even read it today as you went home. But when we look at this again, Elijah was there and he said, how long are you going to be halt? He said, if God be God, follow him. But if Baal be Baal, follow him. And the people answered him not a word. They couldn't make their mind up. They didn't know how to answer Elijah. And I think about that in the world that we're living in today, in the society that we're living in today. That how many people today, they seemingly are between opinions about how they're going to serve God and whether or not they're even going to serve God today. So we look at this scripture and we can see of where Elijah was able to say this in verse number 22. And Elijah said unto the people, he said, I alone remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. In other words, what he was saying, if I have to stand by myself, I'm going to stand by myself. When you know God of that caliber, we know that God is going to be faithful. Again, when you read this, you can kind of read the quick version of this, the paraphrased version of this. And he says that he told him to get two bullocks and bring them together, lay wood on it, dress it. He said, put no fire under it. And then he said, lay at the wood and then put no fire under it. And then he says in verse 24, he said, just call upon your gods. I love this because here these people were. They were worshiping Baal. Call upon the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And God that answered by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. They agreed to that. And Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourself and dress it. For you are many. He said, call upon the name of your God and put no fire under it. Paraphrase really, really quick. They did what Elijah told them to do. And then when you look at this, they called upon the name of Baal. They called upon the name of Baal. The Bible says, from morning even unto noon. They cried to a false god. Our world today, think about it. Our world is so engrossed in the things of the world, tangled up in a mesh of evil today. Ahab, the most evil king that done more wickedness to the children of Israel, and he introduced the Baal worship to the children of Israel. They fell into the trap, and again, they suffered the consequences of the evil king. Here's why I said that, is because it don't make no difference who's in the White House. Come on, somebody. One person said they're all crooked, you know, but whatever the case may be, they just wear different colors and different labels, but they're all crooked. It don't make no difference to me who's up there. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve Jesus. My pledge is to Him. My loyalty is to the cross, and we're going to serve God with everything that's within us. But the funny thing here is simply this, and Elijah was there, and he asked them in these next verses of Scripture, and he says this in the Word. He said, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice. They cried to Baal and there was no voice. The world's crying out to the dead God of the world, nor any that answereth. And they leaped upon the altar, which was made, the Bible said. And they were dancing and they were leaping and they were crying out and they were calling on Baal. And the Bible says, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, and God and he began to say to them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is taken talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey. Maybe peradventure he's asleep, and he may be awakened." The world's cry today is crying out for a God to worship. Sherry and I know people that's very involved, not personally, but we know people that are involved in witchcraft and all kinds of stuff that they're searching for something. They're looking for to fill a void that is in their life. They're looking for things in their life today. And I'm going to tell you, my prayer is simply this, that they will never, ever find it in the things of the world, but they can only find it, Brother West, in the things of God. You and I, how many of us, we were searching, we were looking, we were trying to fill a void that was in our life. And I know so many people, this is the condition of the people that Ahab had led these people into this condition, and Elijah was there, and he said, "Cry to your God, awake your God. Is he on a journey? Is pre-adventure? Is he on a vacation? Is he asleep?" All of that stuff was said. And then we see this in verse number 27. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked him. Verse 28, and he goes on and he says, "And they cried aloud, cut themselves, cut themselves, after the manner with knives and lanchets, till the blood gushed out upon them," trying to get their God's attention. I know years ago we went through this thing here to church. Probably nobody knew this but those that was in the youth department at the time. There was this big issue with kids, and I would be called aside from time to time, and I would be told that we got cutters. What am I supposed to do about this? Who am I supposed to report this to? How am I supposed to confront these children? Some of you sitting here in this room may remember that. And I think to myself, I don't totally know the psychological sides of that, but these kids are crying out for attention. They're crying out for somebody to hear them. And according to what my understanding is, if they're hurting on the inside, when they cut themselves on the outside, it takes their pain and the attention out of the inside, and it makes them focus on the outside. But every bit of this, they were jumping and cutting themselves and all of this thing trying to get Baal's attention. I look at our world today and I think about the world that we're living in. Trying to get a God's attention. But I know tonight, and we know this, we know the Scripture, we understand the Scripture. But they don't have to do that. All they got to do is just simply call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Call out upon the name of the Lord. When you begin to look at the rest of this story, mind you that they were in a drought. Remember, they were in a drought. Commentary says that there was probably cisterns. There were probably some type of underground well or storage that Elijah knew about. And he told them after all of this event, after all of this event. Now, mind you, Elijah had already seen the miracle at Cherith. He had already seen the raven come. Mind you that Elijah had already seen the woman's meal barrel sustained. Mind you, Elijah had already seen the widow's son come back to life. So Elijah had already been confirmed in his own heart. Hey, my God is the true and the living God. When you and I today, we tell our world, we tell the world today that we know who Jesus is. And they look at us, Sister Betty, like a calf looking at a new gate. Because the world gropes in darkness. And John said that the world loves darkness rather than light. But you and I who have tasted and have seen that the Lord is good. There's no God like Jehovah. And once you've tasted of the goodness of God, there is nobody that can convince you of anything any different. Come on, somebody. Elijah had already tasted and seen. Elijah had already experienced the glory of God. And Elijah knew by faith that God was going to answer him, that God would not forsake him. And I just report unto you tonight before we leave that God is for you and not against you. And God is not going to leave you, and God is not going to leave me. Even in the crazy world that we're living in, serve God. So Elijah went and he got this massive amount of water. And this is what he told them. He told them not to put any fire under it, remember? And it says, and it came to pass when the midday was past and prophesied until time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor answer, nor any regarded, nothing. Verse 30 tells us the first thing that Elijah did is Elijah repaired the altar. And I don't have time to talk about that this morning, but they had left the altar of God this afternoon, sorry. They had left the altar of God. The altar of God was broken down. And if the church, where I'm at with this thing, if the church is going to see God move again the way we know that God wants to move, I believe it's going to start around the altar. Whether a personal altar or the altar in the church, it's going to start around the altar. Again, Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been broken down, or that was broken down. And then we read the rest of this, of how Elijah took 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob, whom the word of the Lord came saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar. If you and I want to see God move again in the house of God, I believe that it's time for us to rebuild the altar of our heart. Don't lose your heart. Don't lose your heart this evening. And he said he repaired the altar of the Lord. And then again, we see this in 32. He took these stones and he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around about the altar, and it contained 2 measures of seed. Put all the wood in order, put the bullock on the pieces and laid them on the water. Fill, the Bible says, fill 4 barrels with water. Pour it on the burnt sacrifices and on the wood. Remember, water was scarce during that time. Do it a second time. He did it a second time. Do it a third time. 12 barrels of water he poured upon the altar. So much water that it ran all around about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. Now, in the Bible it says this in verse 36. And this is where I said this morning that prayer makes a difference. that Elijah at that time, he began to see God and he prayed unto the Lord. And it came to pass at this time of the offering and the evening sacrifice that the Elijah and the prophet came near and said, somebody said this is Elijah's 63 word prayer to God. And I said, I don't know if it's 63 words or not, but I counted them yesterday and there's 63 words. And this is what he said. He said, Lord, he acknowledged him. Lord Adonai, Lord, he said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Who's the God of your heart tonight? Don't lose your heart. Is it the God of this world or is it Jehovah God? Don't let the world slip in. Don't let the world weasel its way into your heart. And I'm talking to the preacher tonight too. Don't let the world steal your joy. Don't let the world steal your miracle. Don't let the world try to do anything to make you believe that God cannot still meet your need. And Elijah, when he said this word, he said, the God of Israel, aren't thou the God in Israel? And he said, and that I am thy servant and that I have done all these things according to thy word or at thy word. And then Elijah says in verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. And then he says, and then thou hast turned their back again. Turned their heart back. Why did you say that? It's because what Elijah said. But when the people of the world see you and I being faithful to God, and when they see God's faithfulness on us, we pray that God would turn their heart back to him. Turn their heart around. Turn their life around. People that you know and people that I know. And that was his prayer. And then when Elijah got through with that prayer, remember that there was 12 barrels of water on this altar. Water typically don't burn, friend. But God sent the fire. Remember, that was the agreement. The God that answers by fire, he says that. And he says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. The wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Verse 39, and it says this, when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. I said every bit of that today to simply say this, when we don't lose our heart for the things of God, and if we're faithful to God and we're obedient to God, that God can use us to turn the heart of the world back to him. Now, I know that if I was going to read the rest of that, I'd have to read where they gathered up all the prophets of Baal and they slew them, and old Jezebel got mad and told Elijah, surely enough, I'm going to take your head. Well, Elijah fell under the words of this evil, wicked woman, Jezebel. Timidity fell upon the man. He went and hid himself in a cave. And he was there in fear of what would take place. Commentary said, just like us, ain't it? Ordinary people serving an extraordinary God. Friend, we're all susceptible to the things of this world, but yet God is faithful to us. You can read the rest of that story. God sent Obadiah, I believe it is, sent some reinforcement to Elijah, and he said, hey man, you're not by yourself. I got 7,000 of them right here. I got 7,000 more people that's not bowed their knee to Baal. So Elijah knew he wasn't by himself. He went on and he done many miracles and run into this other guy by the name of Elisha. And you know the rest of the story and how that Elisha said, hey, God, if I can do double, I'll just do what Elijah did. And it was a great story. Amen. Stand with me. Don't lose your heart. Look at your neighbor and say, don't lose your heart. If we don't lose our heart, God can work a miracle through us. I believe that. Don't you? Amen. Father, we do love you tonight and we do praise you. We do thank you, oh Father God, for this word this evening. And Lord, not to take your word for granted, but God, to take your word and apply your word to our heart. And Father, whatever we may have to face this week, whatever dangers we may face, whatever disappointments we must face, Father, allow your Holy Spirit to remind us today and remind us as we go throughout this week, as I was with my servant Elijah, so shall I be with you. And Lord, we thank you for that. Now, Lord, I pray for that person this evening that come into this building discouraged. God, and because of this word, that they leave here knowing that if God be for me, then who or what can be against me? Father, let us put our eyes upon you. Father, cast our eyes upon you tonight and believe you for the miracles that's ahead for the Thomasville Church of God. And Father, I thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. I'm pretty sure you're ready to go. You look like you are. You have a good week. I'll see you Wednesday night, God willing.